pours it out to us, Lord God, that you would bless it mightily. Let it touch our hearts and our minds and draw us closer unto you. Make us more in thine image this morning, this hour. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God's good. How many are enjoying the Beatitudes? Yeah. Yeah, sometimes they get a little tight. You're going along and you're loving it, and all of a sudden you hit a tight spot. You think about those guys saving a tight spot, boys. Amen. Mrs. Baker, not was a fifth grade teacher. She observed a student in her class during a true-false test flipping a coin, then choosing an answer. Mrs. Baker thought to herself, "Ha, Norman, you didn't study again." This answer selection method continued throughout the entire test. After Norman was obviously finished, Mrs. Baker again watched Norman flipping a coin, continuing through the test a second time. "Norman, what are you doing now?" asked Mrs. Baker. Norman replied, "I know what you always tell us to do. I'm checking my answers." Sometimes that's how we do life, isn't it? We're going to flip a coin. Amen. We're going to go through life. So the Beatitudes helps us not to live life by flipping a coin. I don't want to live my life by flipping a coin. I don't want to live my life by heads I win, tails I lose. Amen. Praise the Lamb of God. I want to be able to know that I've got God's Word, and I can look at God's Word. I can trust God's Word, and His Word will not fail me. How many know His Word will not fail you? God's awesome. All the time. Amen. So here we go. We're going to go into Beatitudes. I remember, sometimes it gets a little tight. But you know what? I realized that the Beatitudes, when I first started preaching the Beatitudes, I didn't realize actually reading the Beatitudes just always uplifts me. And as I began to study them, I began to realize, wow, some of the stuff's in your face. How many have felt some of it just kind of go, whew? I don't think it was going, whew. Y'all are going, "I wish he'd stop, because look, it's hitting me too." Amen. I'm going, y'all are going, whew. It's going here too. Praise God. This morning is going to start out with a whew, but it's going to end up with praise God, hallelujah. I'm on the winning side. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word. Matthew chapter 5. We're almost through, y'all. Almost through. When we get through the Beatitudes, we're just going to go, unless the Lord directs different, we're just going to go freelance for a while and not have any necessarily themes. But tonight we're still on our theme of fear. And not only fear leads to depression. Continued fear leads to depression. So tonight, I Lord showed me yesterday, and I've been working with it pretty strong. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the Lord's seven downs to get us up. Seven downs to get us up. You've heard of seven up. He got seven downs. Amen. His seven downs get us up. Amen. So here we go. Matthew chapter 5. You got your Bible? Say amen. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." We've already talked about that. Blessed are they that mourn. We talked about that. They are that, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that meek. There's another good one. For we shall inherit the earth. Matter of fact, I don't know of a bad one in the bunch. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is for, here's today's. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Wow, that's awesome. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. And here it is. This is what the Beatitudes are all about. You are the salt of the earth. But if you don't pay attention to the Beatitudes, your salt has lost its savor. Listen to that. Isn't that cool how he puts things right in the right spot? Blessed are, listen, all these Beatitudes. If you don't take heed to the Beatitudes, your salt has lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that sit on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a bushel and put it under a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men with the Beatitudes, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne. Father, that there's nothing that you can't take care of. Father, there's not a problem, Lord, that you can't handle. There's never a time where you have to back up and punt. Father, we know, Lord, that you, Lord, operate in a realm above anything we can ever imagine. I ask you right now, Father, to help us to remember that and to look to that and to trust you. This day is your day. We're not here by accident. Just like my brother said earlier, we're not here by accident. We're here to lift you up and to praise your name. Lord, we lift you up in song. Now let us lift you up by hearing your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The church said, now, go ahead and shake somebody's hand. Give them a high five, low five, no five. Just tell somebody you're glad to see them. Like I said, now today is going to be one of those where you're either you walk out of here limping, or you walk out of here saying, praise God, I just got my shoes shined. Amen. Blessed are the peacebreakers. Did you say baker? Oh, maker. Oh, okay. Blessed are the peacemakers. Okay? Let go of my ego. Here we go. Peacemakers. The seventh step to happiness. Of course, here's our lead slide we use all the time. Vitamins are beneficial. B vitamins have been used for years for energy, outlook, and strength. Jesus gives us some B vitamins that will improve our spiritual energy, our spiritual outlook, and our strength. They're called the Beatitudes. I love it. I've been sitting here trying to figure out, Lord, tell me how to go into this one. I want to know how to go into this one, because I know that this has a tendency to be abrupt. And so, Lord, let me go ahead and get this on in here so we can get to the good stuff, all right? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Wow. They said, wait a minute, you mean making peace makes me a Christian? Nope, that's not what it said. Didn't say that at all. It said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So let's go a little bit further in here. Blessed, happy are the peacemakers. That actually means the maker and the sustainer, or the maker and the maintainer of peace. I love this. True happiness comes from being a part of the solution, not the problem. Oh, come on, y'all. That y'all be shouting right there. We can go home now. We're ready to go. That's good. I'd rather be part of the solution than part of the problem. Amen? And there has been, I'm going to be honest with you, there's been a time in my life when I've been part of the problem. How about you? Amen. But as much as we can, as much as we can see, as much as God reveals his light to us, help us always to be part of the solution. Now, there's two kinds of people in this world. You hear me talk about this all the time, but I thought this was a nice place for it to be. There are thermometers. Now, thermometers are people who actually sense the climate and they reflect it. If it's a bad day, they're having a bad day. If people are angry, they're walking around with their tail tucked between the legs, so to speak, because they're just reflecting what they see. If everybody's ill, guess who else is ill? If they're having a bad day, well, I reckon I'll have a bad day too. They sense the climate and they reflect it. That's what a thermostat does. But it is powerless to change, so it makes no difference. God help us not to be thermometers. We're not called to come into a bad situation and just sit there and reflect it. You know, some people are great at calling out problems. Some people pick out problems so good or so good that you think they get paid for it. But picking out the problem is not the problem. It's doing something about it when you get there. So I want to be a thermostat. A thermostat, it senses the climate and it reflects it just like a thermometer. Here's the difference. A thermostat can be adjusted. It's got power to change. It makes a difference. Now, y'all say, that's good. That's good and bad. Good and bad. Somebody say, good and bad. Amen. See, I got a little positive and negative up there. Some people make a positive difference by entering a room. Some make a positive difference by leaving a room. Amen. Positive, negative. Now, we're going to talk about the thermostats right now. All right? We're talking about this. This is the categories. You're going to find all these people we're talking about right now. I'm also going to talk about some world events. If y'all been watching TV, you'll notice there in the Ukraine, there's been this passenger liner shot down, almost 300 people killed by Russian rockets, trained by Russian people, and Putin's going, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. And you're looking over, and as Hamas was bombing Israel, nobody said a word about it. Now Israel comes up and says, all right, enough's enough. And they send over thousands of troops into the Gaza Strip, bringing bulldozers and tanks and digging up the stuff that's underground that keeps getting shot at Israel. Well, they're still shooting at Israel. Now all of a sudden, Israel's a criminal. You're going to find all of that in this right here, right now. So now, watch this now. So now first, there's the troublemakers. Anybody ever known a troublemaker? I've been one. Now, before we get started, let me tell you something. Everybody has a tendency to have a bad day. How many's ever had a bad day? You know, I put the ringtones on my telephone, and if you hear mine going, because you had a bad day, da, 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 that's the funeral home calling me. I kid you not. Y'all have heard it. You had a bad day. There's another funeral home calls me and it goes, dun, dun, da, dun, dun, da, da. I'm thinking, oh, wow, we're getting ready to go to the dark side. Amen. A person, a troublemaker, now it's one thing having a bad day. It's one thing to have an occasional bad day, to even have an occasional misrepresentation. But it's another thing that it's not occasional, it's an attitude. A person who consciously, or they do it so much that sometimes it's not even consciously, unconsciously, they cause trouble. I mean, trouble's their middle name. Their middle initial could be T. Trouble is defined as misunderstandings, hard feelings, divisions. They build walls everywhere they go. They think they're Nehemiah and they're building a wall and they don't understand. They think Nehemiah's got nothing to do with it. Building walls is a breakdown in communication, and this happens every day in the world, happens on our jobs. You can think about people on our jobs that are troublemakers. They might not be labeled as troublemakers, but they're always building walls. You watch somebody always building walls, and you can understand God's not pleased with that. All right? So now, let's look at here. So I'm going to show you some categories here. First, there's the peace breakers. You know, I want to ask you a question. What's small and red and bad for your teeth? What's small and red and bad for your teeth? Anybody got a guess? A brick. A brick. Yeah, sometimes people take it and throw bricks at you, knocking your teeth out and going, you got a problem with that? I'm just trying to help. Bam! Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Peacemakers or troublemakers go out of their way to cause trouble and division. Now, I know nobody in here is this, so we're just going to throw this out here so y'all can tell the other ones that you know. Are you ready? They are deliberately confrontational. They're looking to pick a fight about anything and everything. They even pick fights about things that don't even matter. They can even come in a situation and hear something going on, and they don't even know anything about it and still try to pick a fight. Some folks are not happy unless they're a Hatfield or McCoy. So watch this now. Here it is. They will disagree just to disagree. Here's what's going on. When somebody's like that, watch this now. Listen to this. Remember this. So when you're going against this person that's doing this to you all the time, this is going to help you. This is going to help you combat what they're doing. Remember, they're driven by the flesh. They always have a better way. Have you had to hear of somebody, no matter how you can come up with the greatest invention in the world that can save the world and take us to the moon in one day, and they got a better way? You can have a way that you can cure cancer right on the spot, and somebody says, I can do that better than that. You could go up here and pray for somebody and raise them from the dead, and they go, I can do better than that. You know, that's the person that's confrontational. I like the word troublemaker because they're not always troublemakers, so to speak. But that's just a good word. I like it. So watch this now. They're driven by the flesh. They always have a better way. They desire to be right, no matter the cost. Get ready. There's one more, and then I'm going to talk about Russia. Their designated tool is the blame game. Now, I want you to look over the politics in this world in the last 2 weeks. Just two. Matter of fact, you ain't got to go 2 weeks. You can go 1 week. You can look down at the border. At the border, they're shooting 50 caliber bullets at our Border Patrol agents. I saw this morning where they're coming across the border on Sea-Doos. Jet skis. They're coming across the border on jet skis. They're bringing them and dropping them off. The drug cartel, while they're bringing people in, are shooting at our guys with 50 caliber, they showed them, 50 caliber armor-piercing bullets. And you see all the stuff, all the unrest, all of the other countries are trying to come here. So instead of us trying to stop it, we're just going to take care of them while our people need help and don't get it. All kinds of diseases are coming over. All kinds that we were cured of in this country. Now they're coming back. The Border Patrol agents are full of disease now because of this. You look over and you see this plane crash with 300 passengers. As you see this plane crash with 300 passengers, the pro-Russian fascists are trying to say they shot down a military plane. Well, Russia's saying we don't know anything about it. So then I happened to be watching Fox last night, and a journalist from Russia escaped Russia and told this story. I heard it with my own ears. I'm not making it up. She said, all this stuff that's going on, they're making it into somebody's always attacking Russia. And so this plane shot down. She walked off the set. They said this plane got shot down 300 passengers. The reason it was shot down is because somebody thought that Putin was in that plane. They were trying to attack Putin. Wow. Troublemakers. The blame game. I'm going to be right no matter what the cost. Watch the Democrats and the Republicans tearing our nation all to pieces. But somebody's got to be right and somebody's got to be wrong. And I'm going to be right if it does hurt people. That's what's happening. The blame game. Where somebody's going to stand up and say, I'll take responsibility. Let me talk to Russia. Let me talk to Ukraine. Let me go down and talk to the border. Where somebody to stand up and say, I'm going to take some responsibility, not blame everybody. And I got to be right no matter if everybody dies and goes to hell. I'm going to be right. That's the large scale that's going on. But it's also small scale. And Satan would love to get us caught up in it. Amen? Can't get caught up in it. So first there's the peacebreakers. Watch this. I love what the Bible says about it. We're gonna see what the Bible says. The Bible is very clear about this. It shows it, and it says very clear, very distinctly, the Bible says, troublemakers start fights, gossips break up friendships, Proverbs 16:28. Proverbs 22:10 says, how do you handle it when it's in your life? Watch this. Kick out the troublemakers, things will quiet down. You need a break from the bickering and the griping. That's the message. But let's put that in our language. That don't mean you got to kick out everybody that's causing trouble. That don't mean that. It means that once you realize what's going on, it needs to be pushed aside. Once you see that's what's happening, stop it. When you realize what you're doing is doing more harm than good, maybe you don't have to be right after all. So watch this. Gossip, slander, busybody, judgmental stuff in the church, they don't belong in the church, or in the world, or in our homes, or on our jobs. We're here to build up one another, not tear one another down. We are here to create unity, not division. We are to be peacemakers, not peacebreakers. Let us be peacemakers. Guess who the biggest peacemaker was? Jesus Christ. When he died on that cross, he brought peace. Peace, he's the Prince of Peace. He brought it. Now, we're to be like our Jesus. We're to be peacemakers. So now that's the peacemakers or peace breakers. There's one more category in there. That's the peace fakers. I call this the United Nations. The peace fakers. The peace fakers, why? Watch this. And I call the peacemakers the antichrist spirit that's in this world today. As long as we lay down and play dead, it's okay to promote any other thing. You can't talk about Allah, but you can talk about Jesus and cut him down and beat him all to pieces. Nobody says a word. You talk about Allah and everybody goes crazy. The peace fakers. The peace fakers are those that will go to any lengths to avoid any kind of conflict, confrontation, argument. They settle for a counterfeit peace. The Bible tells us that Israel is going to settle for a counterfeit peace. And in the middle of the tribulation, they're going to realize that it was counterfeit, and they're going to run for the hills. They're going to be so tore up, they're going to ask for the mountains to fall on them. Never stand for anything. Never accept responsibility. You're always straddling the wall that the peace breakers built. It's driven by fear, a desire to be liked. And I can tell you something, detonation's on the way. You may think that this peace is a false peace and detonation's on the way. God's watching all this. It's all over the world. I mean, as we watch the TV, I can't even turn it on without seeing all this stuff. Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Hamas. This morning, I didn't hear anything about Hamas bombing Israel, but this morning, talking about all the people that Israel has killed going over in the Gaza Strip. And talked about in the last day or so, they killed over 40 people. And somebody's got to stop the terrorist, Israel. The terrorist, Israel, who was minding their own business and was having missiles launched on them, and nobody even worried about it. You see, here it is, peace fakers. Proverbs 6 and 16. Well, let me just kind of loosen it up a little bit. It's getting kind of tight. A man was wondering if his wife had a hearing problem. So one night, he stood behind her while she was sitting in her lounge chair. He spoke softly to her. Honey, can you hear me? There was no response. He moved a little closer and said again, honey, can you hear me? Still there was no response. Finally, he moved right behind her and said, honey, can you hear me? She replied for the third time, yes. He was the one. The peace fakers. Now watch this, watch. Proverbs 6, 16 and 19 says, six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, haughty eyes, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, and a heart that devises wicked plans, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Here's the Amplified Version, kind of explains it better. I haven't even got to break it down. Here it goes. There are six things the Lord hates, indeed seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, the spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies even under an oath, and he who sows discord among his brethren. So God doesn't like the peace breakers and God doesn't like the peace fakers, but to be a peacemaker, it cost us. Did you know that? It costs you to be a peacemaker. It's not easy. Jesus, in order to be a peacemaker, carried that cross up Calvary's Hill. Jesus, in order to be a peacemaker, took those lashes on his back. A lot of times we don't want to be a peacemaker because we see the cost that it's going to take. Sometimes that cost, we've talked about him in another Beatitude, sometimes that cost is saying, you know what? Maybe you're right, maybe I'm wrong. How about talk to me? Sometimes the cost is just, well, you know, I'm just going to sit down and let you talk. Sometimes the cost is I'm going to step across the wall because they're not going to step across the wall to me, so I'm going to step across the wall. So all kinds of things. Peace costs us to be a peacemaker. But a peacemaker is someone who consciously stands in the gap to relieve trouble and intercedes in trouble, misunderstandings, hard feelings, divisions. The peacemaker builds bridges. That's a big difference. Building a wall separates. Building bridges provides an opening to go one way to the other. Now watch this now. These people are different kind of people, bridge builders. I would like to call myself a bridge builder, but I don't think always I'm having success in building bridges because sometimes I think if you walked across it, you know, might be bad. Like the preacher, He went to church one day, and he was about 30 minutes early. He's walking across, maybe an hour early. He's walking across this bridge, and he sees an old man fishing. And he looked down and says, "How you doing?" He said, "We're getting pretty good bites." He said, "Well, you know, I haven't been fishing in many, many years." He said, "Do you mind if I try?" He said, "Sure, go ahead." So he throws over, and as soon as he throws over, he gets a bite. And he starts pulling up. When he does, both of his top plate and bottom plate fall out. He goes, "Hey!" And I got a bite, and both sets of teeth fell out. In the river. He said, "Oh no, I got to preach in 30 minutes and I ain't got any teeth." The old man said, "I got it covered, preacher. You just back up. I got this." He goes over to the side and he picks up a little brown bag with his lunch in. He pulls out a chicken leg. He ties it to the line and takes his pole and he lowers that chicken leg down to the water. About time it got right to the tip of the water, those teeth come up. He picked them up, shook them off, said, "Here, there you go, bro." Okay, so here we go. Peacemakers. It cost you, that guy was a peacemaker. It cost you to be a peacemaker. How many know it does and are willing to pay the price? Right, get ready. You know, it's like sometimes you have to even use some weird methods. You know, it's like a woman went to the doctor's office where she had been seen by one of the new doctors. But after about 4 minutes in the examination room, she burst out screaming as she ran down the hall. An older doctor stopped her and asked what was the problem, and she told him her story. After listening, he had her sit down and relax in another room. The older doctor marched down the hallway to the back where the first doctor was and demanded, "What's the matter with you? Mrs. Terry, 63 years old. She has 4 grown children and 7 grandchildren. And you told her she was pregnant?" The new doctor continued to write on his clipboard without looking up and said, "Does she still have the hiccups?" Sometimes, to be a peacemaker, you may have to use some unconventional methods, but here's something that you need to always use. Watch this. Here's some stuff about peacemakers. I want you to write this down. Peacemakers. Number one, peacemakers pay attention to what they say. Peacemakers pay attention to what they say. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. James tells us the same thing. When you come in a situation, if I come in the middle of already a hostile situation or a potentially hostile situation, and I jump right down your throat and go, "What are you trying to do?" Immediately you throw up your defenses and all communication shut down. But I walk up and say, "You know what? Seems like there might be a little problem here. Can we talk? Let me see your side a little bit. Tell me what's going on." Now all of a sudden, it's not this, it's this. And so a peacemaker, as soon as he gets on the scene, he ain't got people doing like this. He's got people doing like this. Okay, come on in. I invite you into this situation. Number two, a peacemaker attacks the problem, not the person. You cannot focus on fixing anything as long as you are blaming at the same time. You've got to be focused on the solution. That's what I sent this morning from Mighty Army. I can't remember exactly what it was, but you can't focus on the problem. You got to focus on the solution. You know, that's what, attack the problem, not the person. Here it is, New King James Version. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking to be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." Third thing, you'll be a peacemaker? Learn to cooperate as much as possible. You know what I do when I come into a situation? When I was at Fountain, especially when I first started, they said, "Were you going?" They liked, I was sitting there cutting up with the vice president. I didn't realize he liked the way I was cutting up. And so he wound up the next day and said, "You know what? Instead of just being a process engineer, I'm going to let you take care of all the problems. You go talk to all the people." I said, "Well, that's one time my big mouth got me in trouble. One time." And so I remember going around to people. And for the longest time, I have my piece of paper in my hand. They go, and they say, "Who are you?" And I say, "I'm David Linton." And I'm from engineering, I'm here to help. It's almost like saying I'm from the government, I'm here to help. Amen. I'm here from engineering. I'm here to help this problem. And for the longest time they go, it wasn't us, it was them. Every time I talk, it wasn't me, it was them. Or they would go, I don't know what you're talking about. I got a break to take. And after I started talking with that soft, I'd go, look. I'm not here to find somebody to whip. I'm here to fix a problem. And if you help me, it's going to be good because you're the main man. I think you got it good. You're the man. Can you talk to me? Matter of fact, if you can come up with an answer, we'll put it on an engineering request. And when it goes through, then you'll even get some money for this. And pretty soon, people weren't doing like this. Pretty soon, they were doing like this. And then they were coming to my office. Can I talk to you? Because they realized they weren't going to get beat up. When people realize that you're not going to beat them up, you're not going to slash them, you're not going to tear them all to pieces when they get to you, when you get to them, they realize that you're going to handle it fair and righteous, then people aren't afraid to talk to you. You know, and if you come in a situation and we got 10 problems right now or 10 things going wrong, I got to find something we agree on first. If I find something we agree on first, then I can start the conversation. Sometimes the agree on is just this. Like I told you, DC and Daniel and those guys were playing basketball. We were being beat by 40 points. They wouldn't practice the week before. They didn't want to do anything I asked them to do. They wanted to play. We were being beat by 40 points. They come in. I said, time out! They come in and said, what's up, coach? Tell us what's going on. I said, you're getting beat! And they went, really? yeah, 40 points. You see, when you find a way to cooperate as much as possible, if possible on your part, live at peace with everyone, and actually on your part, sometimes some people are just hard to get along with. One little youngin come to his house, was at his house one day. He lived by him. He was the only child, so his mama would bring friends over so he could have somebody to play with, so she brought his friend over. And he was mean to his friend, very mean to his friend, wouldn't let him play with any of his toys, just was mean to him. And his mama pulled him to the side and said, look, son, said, I thought you wanted somebody to play with. I brought him up here. He's come up here to play, and you're taking toys from him. You're being mean to him. You're talking junk to him. And the little boy said, just face it, mama. Some days you got it. Some days you don't. See, so it's very important that when you're trying to be a peacemaker, you got it. Emphasize. So here you go. Next, emphasize relationships above resolution. Remember, the other guys win at all costs. We don't care who we destroy, win at all costs. I was watching this morning, I was watching Harry Reid talking about how many heard about the Hobby Lobby case where it said you can't go against our religious beliefs and make us provide contraceptives. If we don't believe in this, we're not going to do this. And the Supreme Court upheld it. They upheld it. And today I watched Harry Reid as he said, they're damaging women's health, and the Republicans are just running and hiding. And I said, where's that? And they said, we're going to keep on until we get it. Now, where's the resolution in any of that? The Republicans are just running and hiding, and they're not trying to do anything about it. Yeah, they are. But there it goes, blame, 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 blame. Cooperate as much as possible. We don't always agree. How many understand that? I don't always agree with myself. That's right. Every time I say, I think I want to go to McDonald's for lunch. No, I think I'll go to Burger King. I'd rather go to McDonald's. I don't think I'll go to Burger King. How many's ever had an argument with yourself? That's right. Yeah. You know, heard about the man had been on a desert island for 20 years all by himself. They finally, a ship comes in and rescues him, and they look out and they noticed there was 3 huts he had built. He said, let me look at these huts. He said, these things look great. He said, yeah, I built them with my own hands, didn't have any nails. I had to fashion all my stuff, but I was here for 20 years. I had plenty of time. And he said, well, the first building, what's that? He said, that's my house. He said, it's wonderful. You did some wonderful work. Ask him what was the second building. He said, it's my place of worship. That's my church. He says, I'll spend a many hour there praying to God and worshiping God. He said, that's cool. He said, what's the third building? He said, that's the church I used to go to. sometimes we don't even get along with ourselves. So watch. We may not always agree, but we can agree to disagree. We may not see eye to eye, but we can still walk hand in hand. I may not see eye to eye with you, but I can still hold your hand and hold it up in victory if I'm a peacemaker. You know, watch this. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 5:17-18. Now we look inside, and what we see that is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from God, who settled the relationship between us and Him, and then called us to settle our relationship with each other, the peacemakers. How do we accomplish all this stuff? How can we do all this? How are we able to do all these things? Here it is. Watch this. Number one, you got to embrace the cross. The cross is our picture of the peacemaker. When he hung on that cross between heaven and earth, he was reaching out with one hand and grabbing God, and reaching out with the other hand and grabbing us. The peacemaker. God made the ultimate peace. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Embrace the cross. Remember I told you last week I was walking out of a store and there was a guy that's panhandling. I've known him in the panhandle for years. And honestly, I don't know what to think about any of that. Sometimes the Spirit speaks to me. When He does speak to me, I just go ahead and drop some money in there. And most of the time, I don't know exactly what to do. I am going to go to Burger King or McDonald's and get one of those books, dollar coupon books from Burger King, and start dropping a coupon in there. You want something? Here's something to eat, buddy. But I was walking by a week or so ago, and I had a big old thing of water on my shoulder. It's heavy. And the Lord says, go back and get that man a bottle of water. And it's heavy. So I go back to my car and I drop it in the car and I heard it again. Go give him a bottle of water. So I go in and tear the thing open and I get the water and I turn around and he was gone. I said, Lord, you told me to do it. And he's not even there. And as God works, Thursday night, we called Sierra Linton. You get and go to camp this week. So we said, you want to go out to supper with Gammy and Papa? She said, okay. And I said, you tell us where you want to go. And she said, I want to go someplace I've never been, ever. And that's something called the Speedy Walk. I know why it's called the Speedy Walk now, because whatever you eat is going to go speedy one way or the other. So we go to the Speedy Walk, and as we're coming out, guess who's at the door? That man who's always been at Walmart is now at the Speedy Walk. And I told Linda, I said, I'll be right with you. And I turned back around, I walked inside, I said, give me a bottle of water. I paid for it, and I walked out, and I said, here, man, here's some water. And I kept on, I said, thanks, man, I'm thirsty. I said, cool. I kept on walking, and I said, isn't it something? It started last week. And since I couldn't find him, God brought him to me. To the Speedy Walk. Out of all places to stand outside and panhandle. Whoa, I wouldn't trust what somebody gave me from that place. Okay. Embrace the cross. Number two, build bridges and break down walls. They recognize that in Christ, God acted first to break down the dividing wall. We should do the same thing. Sometimes you got to cost. Sometimes you got to eat your words. Sometimes it's kind of hard. I tell people all the time. I said, "Why'd you learn in Bible college?" I said, "I learned how to eat three things: chicken, barbecue, and crow." And over the years, chicken is a spiritual experience because every time you eat one, it's revenge. After that was told on Peter, it's revenge. So every time I eat chicken, it's revenge. When I eat barbecue, that's the revenge on me. And then crow is just learning how to say, you know what, maybe I was wrong. Or, you know what, can we talk about this? Or, you know what, maybe my way is not the best way. Let me hear what you got to say. You know, so watch. Embrace the cross. Build bridges, break down walls. Make it a point in your life. I'm going to build bridges and break down walls. Y'all say that. I'm going to build bridges and break down walls. Say it. I'm going to build bridges and break down walls. And then number three, promote unity. John 17:21 says, and it's the Amplified Version, that they all may be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. Do you know the unity of the church is not just my responsibility? The unity of the church is everybody's responsibility. Not just in here, but on the street. It's important that you guard the unity. And God will take care of things. And it says they'll be called the sons of God. This has not been a shout in the sermon. Y'all hadn't shouted a whole lot. I told you, some of these beatitudes get right in your face. I tried to find the easier way to do it. This is the easiest way I could find. Amen. I kept praying about it. I said, Lord, matter of fact, I kept writing and throwing away, writing and throwing away. I said, if you want two or three other messages on peacemakers, let me know. I got them. Okay. Notice, this is not how they become children of God. You only become a child of God by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to him gave him power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So what in the world is he talking about? You're going to be called the sons of God. By making peace, you're actually manifesting yourself as a child of God. And God, one day God's going to acknowledge to them, or acknowledge to us, and to them, that we bear the family resemblance. If you want to be like God, be a peacemaker. Jesus was in the bridge building. And so when people see you building bridges, they're going to say, wait a minute, I know he's a child of God. Because he's doing like his father. Blessed are the peacemakers because they are doing a God-like work. I want the musicians to come on up here. Blessed be the peacemakers for they're doing a God-like work. You know, I think I told you about this one day. I was called to jury duty. My wife's called this week. I've been called to jury duty about four times since I became a pastor. Do you know how many times I've served on the jury? When they ask what my occupation is, they go, they get talked for me just a minute ago, you can be seated, Mr. Linton. I did make it up to the box one day. When I made it to the box, there was a guy who was selling drugs right there by elementary school, selling drugs within 100 foot of an elementary school. And they asked me, said, Mr. Linton, tell us a little about yourself. And the very first thing I tried to tell them was, Daniel, who was a drug enforcement officer, was up there. And I figured, I can't do this because he's up there. So I said, Judge, I'm kin to somebody up here. And the judge looked around and saw Daniel and said, let me guess who. And I said, well, I can't do it because he's involved. He says, it's not his case. You can do it. But I thought about that thing. Of course, I got knocked down because they said, you got a problem with the guy selling drugs by school? I said, yes, I do. He said, have you got a problem him serving time for selling drugs? I said, no, I don't. And then they said, have you ever worked in school? I said, I was a substitute teacher. My departed wife was deceased wife was a school teacher, and that guy was writing all the stuff down. They went and talked for a few minutes. His attorney, and he turned around and said, Mr. Linton, you're dismissed. Go over here. But it always does something to me when somebody goes, when they see my sons and go, you know what, I see the family resemblance. There have been a few times I wish they hadn't. They go, are you here to pick up your son? Let's see which one he is. Yeah, that's your son. Now, people talk about, I see this family resemblance. It makes something feel good inside. Especially when they're doing something good. It's awesome. But you know what? Can you imagine when you're building bridges instead of walls? You're tearing down walls and building bridges. And people are saying, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In other words, I can see the Father in them. Wow. I can see the Father. I can see the family resemblance. That's awesome. That is so, so awesome. God wants us to bear His image, His resemblance. And the best way to do it is to get out your pick, your shovel, and start tearing down some walls and start building some bridges. Because the cross tore down more walls and built a great big bridge. And I thank God for it. Let's all stand. God wants us to be like Him, to hold true to that family resemblance, to be a peacemaker, not breaker, not faker, a peacemaker. You see it all around us. And I know I'm very emphatic about this message, but I keep thinking about Russia and what I'm hearing, and thinking about the Ukraine, and thinking about the border, and thinking about the mess going on in Washington, D.C., the blame games, and I think about all the stuff that's in Iraq now has gone back into militant hands, terrorist hands, and now they're in control of a lot of oil fields. All this stuff. And people are trying to tell us it's nothing but honestly fake peace. It's getting ready to get bad. With me. And he tells God's calling us me I am big peacemakers. If you're here this morning, you got any need whatsoever from God. Number one, if you need peace, I want you to come. If you need peace, I invite you to come right now. The peacemaker is here, and he wants to give you that peace. Before you can give peace, before you can make peace, you got to have peace. If you're here right now and you want to be a peacemaker, I invite you to come. Maybe you got situations in your life that you would love to be a peacemaker, but it drives you crazy just to be in it, and you need God to help you, give you wisdom and understanding. I invite you. I want to be a peacemaker, God. I want to be a peacemaker, God. I want to be a peacemaker. If you're here, you need peace. It's here. If you want to be a peacemaker, God is ready and willing to help you. God wants you to be a peacemaker more than you ever could imagine you wanted it. I ask you, Father, to touch us, Lord. Help us, God, to understand when we see the peace breakers and the peace fakers. Help us, God, to reach out for real peace that comes from the peacemaker, Jesus Christ. The real peacemaker, Jesus Christ. Calvary is the true peace. Father, help me, Lord, to be a bridge builder. Help me, God, to be a bridge builder. Help me, God, to be a bridge builder. Help me, God, to be a bridge builder. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Yeah. How great thou art.
Come on. great thou art, my God. When I am lost and wandering, consider all thy words and have me. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, and the universe displays. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
That's awesome. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace.
When it sings my soul,
Father, we know, we see your hand, Lord. Lord, you're a peacemaker. And we see the peace, and we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. I know the Lord, you're only here to build a bridge, Lord. And I see Missy walking across the
street
right now in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Father, to touch each and every problem, Lord. Touch Mr. Arthur. Bring him close by here. See me taken care of. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Awesome, bro. Awesome. Lay your hand on her back. Lay your hand on her back. Lay your hand on her back. There you go. Thank you, God. Thank you for touching my sister's back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You're an awesome God. I thank you for touching her back. I thank you, Lord, for touching her job, Lord. I thank you for touching her family. In the name of Jesus, thank you for all the things that you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we praise your name and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen.
I'm still sore,
it's going to get better.
I outlasted people that have better back than me, so.
You're going to get it.
I knew it was all bad. I still got 8 years. What kind of career move this is?
But it's good. It's good. Yeah. Let's all stand up and sing that song together.